DiscerningHearts.com, in cooperation with the Oblates of the Virgin Mary, presents Begin Again, the Spiritual Legacy of Venerable Bruno Lanteri with Father Timothy Gallagher. Father Gallagher was ordained in 1979 as a member of the Oblates of the Virgin Mary. He obtained his doctorate from the Gregorian University, and he has dedicated many years to an extensive ministry of retreats, spiritual direction, and teachings about the spiritual life. Father Gallagher is the author of several books published by the Crossroads Publishing Company on the spiritual teachings of St. Ignatius of Loyola and the life of Venerable Bruno Lanteri. Father Gallagher is featured on the EWTN series Living the Discerning Life, the spiritual teachings of St. Ignatius of Loyola. Begin Again, the Spiritual Legacy of Venerable Bruno Lanteri with Father Timothy Gallagher. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. Welcome, Father Gallagher.
Thanks so much, Chris.
The topic we're going to talk about today penetrates our heart in a way that is almost mysterious.
Well, certainly, yes, it's the center of everything, and it's the Eucharist, the Holy Eucharist. And very concretely, it's Venerable Lanteri's proposal of a way to live the Mass when we're at Mass. Now, for him, it was the way to celebrate Mass as a priest. But everything that he says here about how to celebrate or participate in the Mass applies equally. This is just a paragraph, we'll try to unpack it a bit, that he wrote for himself still as a seminarian, as his ordination to priesthood was getting closer. And in it, he shaped for himself the way in which he wanted to be present at Mass as a part of his daily prayer. And obviously never forgot what he wrote as a seminarian, because many years later, when he founded his religious community, the Oblates of the Virgin Mary, almost unchanged, almost to the word, he took the same paragraph and gave it to them as a way to live the Mass as a part of every day's prayer. So the mystery, yes, it's the center, it's the heart, it's Jesus and his dying and rising. So he asks that when we are at Mass, maybe we can see this in the setting of a Sunday Mass. We've left home, we've parked the car out in the parking lot, and we found a place in the pew, and there we are, maybe with some other family members, maybe alone. And Mass is going to be starting in just a few minutes. What's in our heart? Where are our thoughts centered? What's happening within? And Venerable Lanteri's invitation is to be attentive to that interior space, and above all, the heart, the stirrings of the heart, and to allow the stirrings of our heart to mold themselves to the changing meaning of the different moments of the Mass as it unfolds. And that's what we can follow together with him. The Mass begins after the opening hymn with the penitential rite. Before we approach what is the Holy of Holies, the most sacred thing in the universe, Jesus Christ himself and in his dying and rising in the Mass, a heart that really understands through faith the depth of what's going to happen wants to approach that with a purity of heart, wants to be set free from anything that could weigh down or limit our freedom to receive fully what the Lord wants to give us, wants above all to be free of sin, so that our hearts are washed in the blood of the Lamb, as the scripture says, and are ready to approach what is so holy. Now, Venerable Lanteri's suggestion is that when we get to the point in the Mass when the priest invites us to pause for a moment to remember our own sinfulness, let's just read that from the text of the Mass itself. The priest will say words like these: "Brothers and sisters, let us acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves." Let us acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves. Those two things go together. Prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries. It's through that acknowledgement before God and then asking his forgiveness that we become really prepared to celebrate the sacred mysteries. And Venerable Lanteri's suggestion is that as we hear that invitation from the priest, And then a brief moment of silence follows in which we are invited to acknowledge our sins and our need for forgiveness. And then we pray with the priest, I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned. The language in the new translation really is very direct, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and words and what I have done and what I have failed to do. Sometimes I stop to realize what I'm really saying when I pray this prayer. Through my fault, through my most grievous fault, mea maxima culpa. And because of that, we ask forgiveness. Venerable Anteri's suggestion is that we allow our hearts to be filled with the sentiments that filled the heart of the tax collector who goes to pray like the Pharisee in the temple. This is in Luke 18, 9 through 14. And we remember the passage. The Pharisee stands up in front before the Lord and tells the Lord of how just his life is and how he's not like other men and all that he does to keep the law. And there at the back, with his head bowed, not even feeling that he can lift his head in the presence of God, is the tax collector, and he quietly beats his breast, the action, physical action, which describes the awareness of sinfulness and need for forgiveness. And he just over and over and over again makes one of the most beautiful prayers in all of Scripture, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus tells us in this parable that prayer touches the heart of God, and this man goes home justified. He who exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Now, it's that attitude in the heart of this tax collector that Venerable Lanteri invites us to have at this moment of the Mass, the penitential rite, when we are recognizing without excuses, without compromises, serenely, because we know that we are so loved by this God, but recognizing that I have sinned through my fault, through my most grievous fault, and what I have done, what I have failed to do. And like the publican, like the tax collector, just deeply from my heart, I make that same prayer. O God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
The Confiteor. I confess to Almighty God, and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned, in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and in what I have failed to do. Through my most grievous fault. Therefore I ask Blessed Mary, Ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Amen.
Now, I think we can hear, even as we put this into words, the richness of grace that will fill our hearts if we live this moment of the penitential rite with that kind of disposition of heart. And that's Venerable Lanteri's invitation to us. It might not be a bad thing, actually, if we wanted to live this part of the Mass in this way, to take up our scriptures and look up Luke 18, verses 9 through 14, and slowly read that account. Let it enter deeply into our consciousness so that it's right there at our spiritual fingertips when we are the next time at Mass and want to live the penitential rite in a way that's really prayerful, beloved by God, purifying, and truly prepares us to celebrate the Mass that will follow. What follows on a Sunday Mass after the penitential rite is the prayer of the Gloria, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to people of goodwill. Now here, the spiritual space shifts dramatically. Now we're ready. The purification has happened. Now we're ready to enter what is holy. And the first thing we do is the first thing the human heart always does. If we look at the Psalms, for example, there's so many prayers. When it is aware of being in the presence of the one who loves it so infinitely, its creator and redeemer, the triune God, And that is a hymn of praise, a hymn of gratitude, a hymn of thanks, a hymn of blessing to God for so much that God is God and that God has brought us into being and redeemed us. And so we have the prayer at this point in the Mass, the glory to God in the highest. We praise you, we bless you, we adore you, we glorify you. It's all just an outpouring of praise. I remember a woman telling me once, she had just listened to the composer Vivaldi's Gloria. And when she listened to it, she said, when I think of heavenly music or music in the eternal blessedness with God, that's what I think of. That's what the human heart is doing here. It's just an outpouring of praise to God. Lord Jesus Christ, only begotten Son, you take away the sins of the world. You are seated at the right hand of God. Have mercy. You alone are holy, and all that we say there. Now, Venerable Lanteri's suggestion here is that we allow our hearts to be filled with the disposition of heart, which was in the angels in Luke chapter 2, when after they have announced to the shepherds of the birth of the Savior in Bethlehem, good news of great joy for all the people, enjoined them to go to Bethlehem. Suddenly, Luke tells us, the heavens are filled with a multitude of angels praising God. And that's where we actually get the first words of this prayer, the glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to people of goodwill. What he invites us to do as we say this prayer is to ask of God that something of what was in the heart of those angels, as their hearts spilled over in joy-filled, immense, blessed praise to God who had worked such a beautiful thing in the world, the incarnation and the birth of a Savior, good news for all the people, and their hearts thrill with joy in this and open in a hymn of praise to God. That's what he says. Let that be in our hearts as we pray this prayer, the glory to God in the highest.
The Gloria. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to people of goodwill. We praise you, we bless you, we adore you, we glorify you. We give you thanks for your great glory. Lord God, Heavenly King, O God, Almighty Father, Lord Jesus Christ, only begotten Son, Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, you take away the sins of the world. Have mercy on us. You take away the sins of the world. Receive our prayer. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Have mercy on us. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Now, I think we can again see as I say this that this too is not something we can improvise. I think you can see why he wrote this down for himself and kept this through all the years of his life. If we were to return to this from time to time, and maybe pray with these dispositions, I think it's already apparent that it would be hard to think of a better preparation for attending Mass, our Sunday Mass, or if we are able to get to Mass during the week, on weekdays or even daily Mass. So that when this prayer of the Gloria comes, it's not just a quick moment that can even just get by us because it only takes, just a couple of minutes, if that, to pray this prayer. Unless it's sung, which is beautiful because then our hearts have more time to assimilate its meaning. But if we were ready as we came to this prayer and we've asked of the Lord to have this disposition as we pray this prayer, the glory to God in the highest, I think it's evident how rich this prayer can become and how much meaning. Now, we've only just begun looking at the various elements of the Mass, but I think we can already see that where Venerable Lanteri is leading, if we can live all of the Mass like this, and it doesn't take a screwing up of nervous energies, kind of a white-knuckling intensity. These are spaces of the heart, and they're beautiful, joy-filled, rich spaces, which if we are ready to live these moments, out of these spaces of the heart, the Mass becomes rich in a way that, well, that may be transformed.
We'll return to Begin Again with Father Timothy Gallagher in just a moment. This is Chris McGregor with information on how you can help Discerning Hearts continue our mission during our summer appeal. No doubt this has been a very challenging year, but because of the generosity of so many of our donors, it's also been a year of blessing. But to make it to the end of the year, we do need your help. We are funded 100% by those touched by the work of Discerning Hearts. So between now and August 22nd, if you can help with a donation or with your prayers, it would be greatly appreciated. You can donate by clicking on the link found on the discerninghearts.com website or inside the Discerning Hearts free app. Thank you, and God bless from all of us at Discerning Hearts. A prayer for the intercession of Venerable Bruno Lanteri. O Father, fountain of all life and holiness, you gave Father Bruno Lanteri great faith in Christ your Son, a lively hope, and an act of love for the salvation of his brethren. You made him a prophet of your word and a witness to your mercy. He had a tender love for Mary, and by his very life he taught fidelity to the Church. Father, hear the prayer of your family, and through the intercession of Father Lanteri, grant us the grace for which we now ask. May he be glorified on earth, that we may give you greater praise. We ask this through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Did you know that Discerning Hearts has a free app in which you can find all your favorite Discerning Hearts programming? Father Timothy Gallagher, Dr. Anthony Lillis, Deacon James Keating, Mike Aquilina, Dr. Matthew Bunsen, and so many more are found on the Discerning Hearts free app. Did you also know that you can stream Discerning Hearts programming on numerous streaming platforms such as Apple Podcasts, Google Play, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, and so many more? And did you know that Discerning Hearts also has the YouTube page? Be sure to check out all these different places where you can find Discerning Hearts. We now return to Begin Again with Father Timothy Gallagher. He's really ahead of his time in that call to full and active participation, isn't he? And he's really inviting us to become a part of it, not just an audience watching what's occurring up in the sanctuary.
That's a wonderful linkage of the teaching of Vatican II with this teaching, which was written, oh, not quite, but close to 200 years before the Second Vatican Council. It is one thing I think we may have said before in these conversations. It's remarkable how the theological and spiritual perspective of Venerable Lanteri is so contemporary. It's not bound to its time by any means. I think part of the reason why that is so is because you can see these are biblically based spaces of the heart, and so they are forever. They're not linked to the cultural conditions of a given time or spirituality.
That call from the publican or the tax collector in his misery. He's really miserable when he's in the back and really repentant for his sin, meeting that mercy, and then to be followed immediately by the angels that are watching, that behold how mercy responds to misery and how it's transformative. He wants us to be that person, but he also wants to celebrate it, and we see it not only in ourselves, but when we see it happening for others.
As you say that, I think it becomes evident that the components of the Mass are not just one piece after another in any kind of order, but there's a deep unity and coherence to it. Each step prepares what comes after. As you were saying that, I found myself thinking of experiences that many of us will easily recognize when we've gone to confession. Maybe it took a little bit of courage, a little bit of effort to bring certain things to the sacrament, but when we have finished, our hearts are just happy and free, and there's a joy there. That's the movement in the Mass there. After the purification of the penitential rite, lived with that kind of heart space like the tax collector, what follows is immediately praise. What follows is joy. What follows is delight. So absolutely, yeah, there's a very clear movement, very clear linkage between these different elements of the Mass. After the prayer of the glory to God in the highest, there follows what has been called the opening prayer up till now, but now more strictly is called the collect. We bring together our various needs and prayers and offer them to God. Now, there are several points like this in the Mass at which we're all standing and we're all silently praying with the priest who is pronouncing in our name prayers to the Father that arise naturally out of this particular moment in the Mass. And so there's the prayer of the collect, or the opening prayer, after the introductory rites, the hymn, the purification of the penitential rite, the singing the praises of God in the glory to God in the highest. And before we move into listening to the Lord's word, the priest lifts up a prayer to God in the name of all of us. I'm just looking at today's Mass, actually, so we can actually exemplify some of these prayers. O God, who in the abasement of your Son have raised up a fallen world, fill your faithful with holy joy, and so on. And there are other moments like this. At the moment of the time of the preparation of the gifts, or the prayer of the offerings, the offertory, as we have often called it, there is a second prayer like this, the prayer over the offerings, which again, we stand and join in with the priest who out loud in our name makes this prayer to God. May this oblation dedicated to your name purify us, O Lord, and so on. And then a third time in the prayer after communion, after we've received the Lord in communion, everything has returned to silence. Then we stand for a third time like this together with the priest. Grant, we pray, O Lord, that having been replenished by such great gifts, we may gain the prize of salvation. So the prayers are always suited to the particular moment in the Mass. Now, at these moments in the Mass, when we are standing, and in our name, the priest as presider is lifting up these prayers to our God, the Venerable Lanteri invites us to have what he calls the affect, the heart space of an ambassador who is sent by the Church in the name of the people of the Church, so that the priest is, as it were, the ambassador of the people. He is sent by the Church to stand there before the people as presider, and in the name, his own name, and in the name of all of the people gathered with him in this assembly, to lift up this prayer on behalf of the people to God. So that as we're hearing that, what we are hearing is our own prayer. The prayer that the Church has shaped for us in words, because those words express what our hearts need to express at this particular moment in the Mass to God. And the priest is there as the ambassador. You know, as a nation has an ambassador who represents that nation in another court, if we go back to the times of the kings and so on. And so the priest is the ambassador sent by the Church to lift up in the name of the people a prayer before the heavenly court, the heavenly king before God. So that's what we're hearing. Now he's inviting the priest, as he pronounces this prayer, to be aware of the dignity of what he's doing and the richness of what's taking place, and how he stands there in the name of all of the people who are gathered with him to lift up this prayer to God. And I think what that means for us as we're present at Mass, we will hear this prayer, we will pray this prayer silently, but pray it as we let the words of the Church pronounced by the priest express sentiments of our own heart to God. Pray it with the awareness that we are gathered together as God's people, and in our name the priest is lifting up this prayer to God. And that space of the heart, or that affect of the heart, would return at the various points in the Mass when the priest is praying on our behalf as our ambassador, as it were.
Father Gallagher, what an incredible insight in that he would use the imagery of the ambassador as opposed to the kingly leader, or a type of position which is exalted above the people. An ambassador actually is of the people and is a bridge. I mean, they're a communicator of a community's intentions, and then they transmit back what they've experienced. That's pretty significant, especially given his time period where royalty and that type of thing was a normative type of position to have in the culture.
It's a profound awareness that the priest is not just there saying his private prayer, but that this is the prayer of the church. He is simply chosen by God at this particular point in the Mass to be the one who expresses on the behalf of the entire assembly, the entire church really, but in some special way those who are actually present at the Mass to express what human hearts at this day in this celebration of the Mass need to express to God. So there's a deep sense of the unity, the communion between the priest and the assembly. And I think if it's important for the priest to be aware of that, it's also very important for the people to be aware of that. This is my prayer that I'm hearing. This is our prayer that I'm hearing. Yes, I'm so glad that you're putting it into words for me, all of us together lifting up this prayer to our Heavenly Father.
We'll continue our conversation with Father Gallagher about Venerable Bruno Lanteri and the celebration of the Mass in our next episode. You've been listening to Begin Again, the spiritual legacy of Venerable Bruno Lanteri with Father Timothy Gallagher. To hear and or to download this conversation, along with hundreds of other spiritual formation programs, visit discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts in cooperation with the Oblates of the Virgin Mary. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We pray that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission, and if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to help support our efforts. But most of all, we ask that you tell a friend about discerninghearts.com and join us next time for Begin Again, the spiritual legacy of Venerable Bruno Lanteri with Father Timothy Gallagher.